you sold your home in the past year or two, you probably made a killing. Yet first-time home sellers aren't happy with their results.
Hi, I'm Rob West.
You've heard of buyer's remorse. Now it seems first-time home sellers have remorse about how their transaction went down. I'll talk about it today, and then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Okay, some interesting results from a new survey by Zillow. If you can believe it, 84% of first-time home sellers said they would like a do-over on the timing, pricing, or marketing of their sales. A full 90% of the 2,000 first-time home sellers surveyed think they could have sold for more money if they'd done things differently. The top four regrets were not pricing the home competitively, not paying attention to curb appeal, trying to time the market, and not doing needed repairs. Let's go over these in case you're planning to put your home on the market this spring, whether you're a first-time home seller or not. Okay, so first is not pricing competitively. You'd think that most sellers would regret pricing their house too low, but pricing too high always causes problems. According to Zillow, a house that's listed at a competitive price will usually sell within 31 days. If your list price is too high, the house will linger on the market for a median of 73 days. That'll cost you money if you have to buy a new house that's increased in value. You could also lose out on getting your dream house if you've picked one out. To avoid this, you have to check out what comparable homes have sold for in the last 6 months in your neighborhood, and your selling agent will usually do that for you. It's a good idea to listen to your agent's advice on pricing your home, even if you think it's worth more. The second regret was not paying attention to curb appeal. They say you rarely get a second chance to make a first impression. You're likely to get a positive return on money spent to spruce up the front of the house. Invest in things like landscaping, including new flowers and shrubs, or trimming shrubs below the bottom of windows. You want your house to be seen, not hidden behind overgrown greenery. A fresh coat of paint, at least to the front of the house, will probably cost more, but again, it'll make a great first impression. And with so many buyers now looking at homes online, curb appeal extends inside the house as well. If your agent is taking pictures for an online listing, and most do now, you want the house to look clean, tidy, and uncluttered. Zillow says that listings on their site get more saves and views if they have virtual three-dimensional home tours with interactive floor plans. Some sellers are now investing in professional and even drone photography to show off their homes. That means that staging is more important than ever, and less is more when it comes to staging furniture. Rooms should only have appropriate items. For example, a bedroom would have a bed, a dresser, small end tables, and maybe a trunk or seat at the foot of the bed. The less furniture, the larger the rooms appear. The next regret mentioned by first-time home sellers was trying to time the market. It doesn't work with stocks and apparently not with houses either. About a quarter of those surveyed said they mistimed the market. Many sold their home and then rented for 6 months or a year, waiting for home prices to come down before buying their second home. That has happened in some areas, but certainly not all. And in the meantime, mortgage interest rates went up significantly. So those folks were not only out the rent money, they're now paying more in interest with a new mortgage. Another note about timing, you certainly don't want to sell your primary residence if you haven't lived there for at least 2 years. Otherwise, you'll be subject to capital gains tax. The last major regret was not making necessary repairs. And these weren't major projects like a new kitchen or roof, which usually don't pay off at the closing table. According to Zillow, smaller ticket items like interior painting, carpet cleaning, and landscaping will usually pay for themselves. Now, I want to mention something about real estate agents. It's true that you can eliminate a 6 or 7% commission by selling your home yourself. That's if you list the house at the appropriate price and successfully navigate through all the potential snags that can happen when you sell a house. But you very often get your money's worth and possibly more by having a knowledgeable agent who knows your market. Proverbs 16:16 reads, "How much better to get wisdom than gold? To get understanding is to be chosen rather than silver." All right, your calls are next. The number, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. Stick around.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. Part of what makes Easter so special is the meal. How can you not celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ with friends, family, and a delicious spread? Well, just days before the first Easter, Jesus and his disciples celebrated their most important holiday, the Passover. This day was a reminder of God saving Israel from bondage to Egypt. The Israelites were to cover their doors with the blood of a spotless lamb. Exodus 12 telling us, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague will destroy you." Little did Jesus' disciples know, they would be celebrating a new Passover, where they would celebrate Jesus as the true spotless lamb, whose blood covered them from God's judgment and saved them from bondage to sin. You'll see Jesus more clearly through time in God's Word. Visit GetAnchor.com.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at EventideInvestments.com. That's EventideInvestments.com.
Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Christian parents are on the hook today because they have to identify the threats to the value system that's being taught to their children in public schools. And their job is to protect their kids from these influences.
Tune in for Family Talk with Dr. James Dobson, weekdays at 6:30 a.m. and 9:30 p.m. on American Family Radio.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning in to our program. God's blessings to you all.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org. Or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, and it's time for your questions. We've got some lines open. We'd love to hear from you. Get in early so we can address whatever you're thinking about financially today. The number to call is 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. We'd love to hear from you with whatever you're thinking about today, whether it's your spending plan, maybe your long-term investment savings, maybe it's paying down debt or dealing with that pesky credit score, whatever it might be, we'd love to hear from you. Or maybe a testimony of how God's been faithful in your financial life as you've applied these principles from His Word. The number to call again is 800-525-7000. Let's begin today in New York. Hi, Martha. Thank you for your call. Go ahead.
Yes. I received an inheritance. I'm 63 years old, and I should be retiring within 2 to 4 years, if not before. And the inheritance was given to me. And I was hoping to get some advisement about that.
Okay, sure. What are you wrestling with at this point?
What am I wrestling with? Well, the current times of the banks, there's a lot of uncertainties, and
yes,
I'm just not sure how to invest this at my age.
Okay, yeah, very good. Well, let's talk through just a few things, if you don't mind. What is your age?
I'm 63 years old.
Okay. And are
and
you?
And I work full time in the school system. Yeah.
Okay, great. You say you work full time. Go ahead.
Yeah. All yeah, right. I work as a teacher aide in a school district.
Okay, very good. And is that what you're bringing in? Is it enough to cover your expenses?
No. No, we're close.
Okay. So how do you pay your bills? What do you use to supplement your income?
What do I do to supplement my income? I get bereavement from
okay.
Social Security.
Okay. Yeah, very good. And so the combination of those two, does that just barely cover it, or do you have anything left over at the end of the month?
Well, it just barely covers it. I don't go on vacations. I don't, you know, do a lot of things. I try to prep my home accordingly to do the best I can with what I have.
Yes, ma'am. Well, I certainly understand that. And that's the one of the challenges when we're living on a fixed income and we've got limited means and we have to live within that. And it sounds like you're doing a good job managing that. Now we have the blessing of this inheritance. If you don't mind me asking, how much did you receive?
Close to 19,000.
About 19,000.
18.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, 18, it's closer to 19,000. I'm not
okay.
looking at it right now, but
yeah,
no
if you problem.
Need precise numbers,
no,
I can
no,
give
no,
it to you.
just roughly. And do you have any liquid
okay.
savings right now? What I call emergency savings?
Just the bank. I've got a little bit, but it's nowhere near like, it's like $700.
Okay. Yeah, very good. And any other liquid assets? Do you have any retirement accounts? I realize you may or may not get a teacher's retirement. But do you have a 401k? Do you have any other investment accounts?
No, I don't have any of that except
okay.
for the state retirement.
Okay. All right. And have you already or started collecting on that?
No.
Okay.
I'm still working full time.
Yeah, very good. So obviously your plan at this point would be that your state retirement plus your Social Security spousal benefits would be what you would pay your bills with in retirement. Is that right?
That's right.
Okay. Yeah, very good. So what I would recommend here, Martha, is that you don't invest this $19,000. I would see this now as your emergency fund. And the idea would be that you would continue to live very modestly within your means, not using or planning to use any of this $19,000. But this would really be your emergency fund. So when something comes that's unexpected or unplanned, now you've got something to fall back on. So you're not having to take on or incur any debt of any kind, which means that I wouldn't put this at the risk of the stock market or even the bond market. I'd probably just leave this in what I call a high yield savings account. Now, you mentioned the banks, and yes, we did go through a bit of a period of uncertainty as we saw these regional banks that had failed. There was a specific reason why I think the banks failed that did, and that had to do with mismanagement of their portfolio. So they had a lot of long-term bonds that had lost a lot of value. And because they were in a highly concentrated sector, at least with Silicon Valley Bank, where these were startup tech companies that need a lot of cash flow because they're not making a lot of money to pay all of their staff. And they had to pull money out of the bank. When the bank had to sell these long-term bonds at a loss, then they were depleting their capital, and that spooked their depositors, which for good reason. I think that was fairly isolated. Could we see that spill over or shine a spotlight on other banks? Sure. And I think what we're seeing is the implications or the ramifications of the Federal Reserve raising interest rates as fast as they have and to the level that they have. And that's going to cause any cracks in the system to be identified. Do I think this is going to spiral downward in terms of a run on the banks nationally or some sort of collapse of our economic or banking system? No, I don't think so. I think it's fairly contained. And I think the Federal Reserve understands that they're probably going to have to be near the end of their tightening and their interest rate raising cycle
Even though they're laser focused on getting inflation down, they're going to have to be careful in this territory where they are. So I would leave the money in the bank. I think we saw the FDIC step in and do what it was intended to do in the case of SVB and Signature and any others. And that was that they guaranteed the funds up to $250,000. You know, depositors had access to their money on Monday morning after this happened. And that's the role of the FDIC. So if it were me, Martha, I would put this money in a high yield savings account with FDIC insurance. Where you're going to get the best yield is with an online bank. So not a brick and mortar bank, but with an online bank where right now with no fees, you can get about, well, nearly 4% a year. And that's not a significant amount of money, but it's something. And on $19,000, you know, that would pay you an additional $750 a year, you know, if you got roughly 4% on that money. And that's not an insignificant amount of money that would allow this to grow at a very modest pace. So that would be my approach. But give me your thoughts.
Well, because of the uncertainties, and I received this in the middle of the year of 2022, I ended up, because of the uncertainties of what's going on that we all face with our government, I ended up putting it in a cashier's check.
Okay. Yeah. And so
I'm just hanging on to it. You know,
I understand.
I want to do, the Bible says that we do what is right and true. And I'm looking for the answers to coordination and collaboration with people.
Yeah, that's the way you should approach this, because first of all, we have to recognize you're the steward. God has entrusted this money to you and no one else, and therefore you're responsible for the management of it. But he's also encouraged us to seek wise counsel, and you're doing that as well. So if it were me, because of inflation, you're losing purchasing power. This money is declining in purchasing power every day just because of what's going on. I would feel comfortable with this being in a high-yield savings account. If you as the steward are more comfortable leaving it right where it is, then you do that. But I certainly wouldn't invest it given what I know about your financial situation. I would see this as your emergency fund. Hey, God bless you, Martha. Thanks for being on the program today. We'll be right back on Faith and Finance. Stay with us.
When you hear this...
This is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building, and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at AFN.net, and sign up for our daily news brief at AFN.net.
What if buying groceries, gas, or dining out could help change lives? With Christian Community Credit Union's Cards That Give to Missions, you can help spread the gospel, combat human trafficking, and protect vulnerable children with every purchase at no cost to you. Apply for your card today. More information is available at joinchristiancommunity.com. That's joinchristiancommunity.com. The credit union is an underwriter of this ministry. Membership eligibility required.
AFA is no longer dependent on Facebook or YouTube to live stream our original programming. As of now, American Family Radio shows like Today's Issues, The Core, Airing the Addisons, and The Hamilton Corner are streaming live on the AFA streaming app. Independent live streaming is the next step as we come out from among them and separate ourselves unto the Lord. Search AFA Streaming or visit streaming.afa.net to sign up.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
Well, we'd always wanted to leave some of our money for God, but we didn't know where or how.
Bernie and Alice Larson are faithful supporters of the American Family Association.
We felt like this was put into our laps as answer to our prayers as to what we could do after we're gone.
You can learn more about charitable annuities and other financial products at AFAFoundation.net or call 800-326-4543, extension 345.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
You know, we've been given a high calling as stewards of God's resources. Once we surrender our lives to Jesus and place our trust in Him as our Lord and Savior for the forgiveness of sins, well, then it's about stewardship. How are we managing what we've been entrusted? Truth, relationships, our time, our talents, and yes, our treasure, the resources financially that God has entrusted to us so that we can stand before Him one day and give an account for how we've managed His money. Well, here on this program each day, we want to help you be a wise and faithful steward, applying the wisdom from God's Word to your financial decisions and choices. So what are you thinking about today? We'd love to hear from you. We've got a few lines open, perhaps one just for you. Give us a call at 800-525-7000 and let's talk about what's on your mind today, financially speaking. Back to the phones to North Carolina. Alyssa, you're next on the program. Go ahead.
Hey.
Hi there.
So I really feel like me and my husband have really mismanaged our money. We're kind of in a lot of debt. Okay. And he's the only one working. I'm a full-time student.
Okay.
I don't know how to get out of what we're in.
Yeah. Well, first of all, Alyssa, just know that I think recognizing this fact is the starting point, right? We all make financial mistakes, and the key is to be found faithful from this point forward, and you and your husband coming together and saying, you know what, we're going to live within God's provision, whatever that means. And that may involve decreasing our spending. It may involve trying to increase our income, but we're committed to whatever God has provided, that is enough. And it doesn't mean we don't try to improve our situation, but we have to, at a minimum, be willing to say, I'm going to live within God's provision, even though the world will allow you to live outside of that by incurring debt. But that's just going to lead to a life of bondage, and it's going to create marital conflict, and it's not going to put you in a position to be able to experience God's best and even be able to respond to His leading. You can do it. It's going to take some time, but let's try to, first of all, figure out where you're at today. So you mentioned that you have some debt. What do you have today in the way of debt?
Okay, well, we have a mortgage.
Okay.
I don't know if that, yeah, so we have a mortgage. We have a car payment.
Okay.
And we have 3 credit cards.
Okay, and what do you owe on those cards, roughly the total amount?
One, we owe about $800. Okay. Another one, we owe about $2,000.
All right.
And then the other one, we owe $330.
$330?
Yes.
Okay, so you owe about $3,000. And is any of that just regular monthly bills that will be paid off at the end of the month, or is that really a balance that you're carrying every month and you don't have the ability to pay it off?
Oh, we've been paying it off, but two of the cards, one of the cards is a no interest card.
Yeah.
So we don't have to pay interest on that one, but two of the cards, it's like it's not going down because we're making the minimum.
Okay. Yeah.
Payment.
Very good. No, I follow you on that for sure. Okay. And now let's talk. Well, let me just ask, do you have any other debt of any kind?
Our car payment.
Yeah, your car and your mortgage and then the 3 credit cards. Okay, let's talk about your budget, Alyssa. Have you ever, you or your husband or both of you, have you all ever taken the time to create a budget where you might track for 30 days or 60 days everything you spend, both those things you get a bill for in the mail, like your, you know, electricity bill, but also those things that I call discretionary that you spend without getting a bill, like going out to dinner or entertainment or, you know, buying some clothes or, you know, whatever it might be. Have you ever put that together?
I actually, because we use Wells Fargo Bank, but I actually looked yesterday about our spending report.
Okay.
And it was a lot. We spent a lot, through all of the bills that came out and us just going out to eat and spending.
Yeah. Well, going out to eat is a big budget buster.
Yeah, it is. It's very bad. Very bad.
Okay. Well, I think we need to do a little bit more than I'm hearing you've done. I'm glad to hear you've been kind of poking around on the website, running some reports, but we need to create a budget. And this says for Alyssa's family and you and your husband, here's what it costs for us to live today based on what we're spending. So it's got to include your mortgage and your car payments and the minimums on those credit cards to start with. It's got to include any groceries or eating out and, you know, all of your expenses. We've got to capture that in one place. And then we've got to compare that to your take home pay, because your husband's the only one working, and out of his paycheck probably comes some health insurance and taxes and other things. But then there's a take home amount, and we've got to compare the realistic reality of what you're spending every month to your budget and see how much beyond your budget you're living on. Because in your budget, we also have to include those things that don't happen every month. So you might have a quarterly insurance payment. Well, we need to put a monthly amount away so that when that payment comes, you're ready for it and doesn't go on the credit card. You're going to buy gifts for family and friends and Christmas along the way during the year. We got to put something in for that. So we've got to be, you know, capture everything in one place so that we at least know where we're at. Now, you may get to the end of that process and say, you know what, we're spending $400 a month more than we're bringing in. And so now we've got to go to work. And it'd be great if you could get the income up. That's usually a little harder. So usually we start with cutting expenses. And we've got to start by getting to a place where you've got a budget that balances. In fact, not only do I want it to balance, but I want there to be a little left over at the end of the month, because the first thing we need to do is build what I call an emergency fund. I'd love for you to have $1,000 in savings that you can just use to fall back on, not for budgeted things that you know are going to happen, but for those things that come out of left field. You know, all of a sudden you've got an unexpected car repair, or, you know, even though the dishwasher shouldn't be at the end of its useful life, it breaks and now we've got to repair it. That needs to come out of that emergency fund so that you don't have to use the credit cards. And then once you have the $1,000, now that surplus goes to debt reduction to get those credit cards paid off once and for all. But it's all got to come back to that budget. And then once we get that budget in place, then we need to make sure we have a system to control it, whether that's a physical envelope system where you literally fund number 10 envelopes with your eating out budget so that when it's gone, it's gone, or using a digital approach like in our FaithFi app. Let's do this. I've got to take a quick break. When we come back, you and I will pick up this conversation. So stay right there. We'll be right back.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
It's easy to find people who are skeptical about what the Gospels claim, but have they truly considered the facts? This week on Truth for Life, Alistair Begg examines the evidence and the witnesses that verify the death and resurrection of Jesus. Study along with Alistair Begg on Truth for Life.
Truth for Life, weekday mornings at 11:30 Central on AFR and online at afr.net.
My name is Kent, and I'm a member of Christian Healthcare Ministries. I have a friend who actually has great insurance, and she recently had a life-threatening experience, and she was laying in the hospital bed afraid, not afraid for her life, but afraid of what her insurance would or would not cover. And as a CHM member, I can honestly say I just never have that fear. I can't tell you the peace of mind that provides.
Learn more about Christian Healthcare Ministries biblical cost sharing at chministries.org.
45,000. That's how many times FaithFi referred a listener to a certified Kingdom Advisor last year. And for good reason. These are trusted financial, legal, and accounting professionals who have completed a rigorous certification program to ensure biblically wise financial advice as part of their practice. You can find a local CKA professional in your area by going to faithfi.com and clicking on the Find a CKA button on the homepage.
Hi, I'm Kirby Anderson, president of Probe Ministries and host of the Point of View radio program. You probably noticed that many young Christians leave the church after they graduate, but they don't have to graduate from God. That's why I want to invite your children and grandchildren to attend the Probe Mind Games Camp in Texas. We prepare them for college and their entry into a world that will challenge their faith. This one-week camp includes lectures, role play, along with some great fun. It will take place June 18th to the 24th. Go to probe.org for more information.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
You know, the way I read Scripture, money can have a grip over our lives if we allow it to. And in my experience, the way that we free the grip of money over our lives, we loosen that grip through generosity. It's what calibrates us to the Father. We were created in the image of the ultimate giver, God Himself. And so when we're giving, I like to think we're most like Him, and it frees us from the bondage that money can put us in. Think about your giving today and what role it can play in your financial life. Hey, just before the break, we were talking to Alyssa in North Carolina. She and her husband have really been struggling to stay on budget. They've been building up some credit card debt, about $3,000 in credit card debt. They have a mortgage and a car payment, and she's just wondering how they can kind of rein in their spending and get back on track so that they can feel more confident about where they're headed. And Alyssa, just before the break, I was sharing that it really does start with this budget, you all getting an accurate record or understanding of what you're spending today, including those things that you don't get a bill for and what I call non-recurring expenses that don't happen every month. And then having an honest conversation about how much underwater you are, meaning how much over your take-home pay are you actually spending every month when you really look at it at that level of detail. And then making those hard decisions to rein in that spending. If, you know, eating out is an area that's really causing you problems, you're going to have to decide, all right, you know, we only have $125 to spend on eating out, or $100 or $75. And when it's gone, it's gone. And then we've got to have a system to control that flow of money, whether that's a physical envelope system where you literally put $75 in an envelope marked eating out, and once that cash is gone, you're done for the month, or a digital envelope system like in our FaithFi app. But that's really the process, and that's the starting point, because living within your means is the key to every financial success. It's not easy to do, but it's essential. Now, give me your thoughts on all that.
I think that's right, because me and my husband were actually talking this morning about how much we're not living in our means. And I think maybe just, like you said, using the digital envelope, because we're very digital people, would actually help a lot.
Good, good. All right, here's what I want to do. I want to do two things for you, Alyssa, because I want to help you and your husband get back on track. And I think having somebody to walk alongside you is going to be helpful if you all are willing to do this. Number one, I want to give you a pro subscription to the FaithFi app so that you can connect your bank accounts and your credit cards. All your transactions will download automatically. You can set up your digital envelope system so that you know what your amount is coming in every month. Your income will flow into it. It's not actually moving money. You're just going to see it. And then you can set up your envelopes based on your budget. And then as you spend money, those transactions will automatically go into each of the envelopes according to the category they're in. And so at any point, you and your husband can open the FaithFi app and see exactly how much is left in any envelope so that you all can make decisions throughout the month to curb your spending when you're out of money in that particular category. And I also want to give you one of our coaches to walk alongside you. This is not going to cost you anything, but it's just our gift to you you, one of our coaches is going to help you get all this set up, answer your questions, and kind of get you all going down this path. Does that sound good?
Oh, yeah, I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Happy to do it. So listen, you stay on the line. Pat's going to get your information, and we'll get somebody connected to you to get you set up. You stay right there. God bless you, Alyssa. Hey, let me pray for you. Father, I just pray you give Alyssa and her husband just the confidence from your word that, Lord, you are their provider and that they would trust you implicitly. Give them the ability to make hard decisions, to rein in their spending, to say no when they need to say no, and give them just an absolute commitment to live within your provision. Thank you for what you give to them, what you provide to them. We realize that every dollar we have is a gracious gift from you. It belongs to you, and we want to be wise stewards of it. Lord, just help them as they navigate this and draw them closer to each other and also to you in this process. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's head to Nebraska. By the way, we've got a few lines open, 800-525-7000. If you have a question today, financially speaking, on any financial topic, we'd love to hear it. Or a testimony. Maybe you have seen what I just described to Alyssa play out as you made the hard decision to live within your means, and you'd like to give testimony to that. We'd love to hear that as well. 800-525-7000. We've got just a couple of lines open. To Nebraska. Hey, Connie, thank you for calling. Go right ahead.
Thanks so much for taking my call.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm 79 years old. I've been a widow for 14 months. I'm still working. I clean houses.
Okay.
I have $33,000. I have no debts except a leased car, which is $355 a month. I have $33,000 in my household account. I have $134,000 in a savings account. I have $10,000 in silver and gold. And every month I make about $2,000 a month, give or take how many the weeks there are in the month. And even dog sit every once in a while too. So what I do with what I make is I split half. I put half in the household account, half in the savings account. So, and my husband's Social Security is $2,000. So what I've done for a year is I've lived on that household account and only taken out money that will sustain my household accounts, my house is paid for or whatever. So I don't know what to do with this money that I have in savings, but I don't feel like it's a good steward to just have $134,000 just sitting doing nothing. It's in a safety deposit box. So
Do you
have any...
Yeah. I do. You tell me, first of all, I'll give you my thoughts for sure, but you tell me what you think you want to do. I mean, are you wanting to keep this totally secure, or are you wanting to take a little risk with it and invest it in stocks and bonds? Would you rather stay in banking? Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, it's okay.
I know I had one of my clients give me, put me in contact with a Marcus.com.
Yeah.
And so would you suggest I take some of that money out? I'm not afraid to take it out and invest it.
Okay.
I just want to do something. So,
yeah. Well, I think, yeah, you've got a couple of options. I like Marcus a lot. That's the retail side of Goldman Sachs, and they have typically the highest interest rates. Right now, I think their high yield savings is paying 3.75% FDIC insurance.
Yeah.
You could link that to your household account at your brick and mortar bank and then just move the money back and forth. As long as you're under $250,000, you'd have FDIC insurance. So I think that's a no-brainer for me. I'd get it out of that safe deposit box where you're losing purchasing power because of inflation every month. And at least you'd be making, you know, 3.75%. And you know, at did you say it's $130,000? Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, at least you'd be, bringing in $5,000 a year on that and growing it. Now, if you wanted to take a portion of it and invest it because you think, listen, I don't need it, as long as you have a time horizon of at least 8 years, and, you know, obviously none of us know how long the Lord's going to have you here. We don't know our next breath, right? We trust the Lord for that. But if you're in good health and the Lord tarries, you know, this money could, you know, need to last a long time. And if you needed long-term care or something that was going to be very expensive, this could be a very valuable asset for you to pay for, you know, in home care or assisted living or even nursing home care for a period of time, which can run $8,000-$9,000 a month. So I think it's important to say, should we go ahead and invest this? I would do it very conservatively, with probably 60 to 70% in bonds, maybe 30 to 40% in stocks, and maybe only with half of it. And the other half you put in Marcus, or what I call a CD ladder, which might be you take a third of it and you put it in 6 month CD, a third in a year, a third in 18 months. And then every 6 months you roll it forward into a new 18 month CD. You know, and then you're getting 5%+. So let's do this. I've got to take a quick break. When we come back, I'll get your thoughts on that and we'll finish up. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Thoughts of the child you were carrying keep pouring over in your mind, and the loss is overwhelming. A deep, unrelenting sadness overshadows your days, and you wonder if you will ever feel whole again. But there is hope and healing from an abortion. Call the International Helpline, 866-482-LIFE, and talk with someone who has been where you are. 866-482-LIFE.
Thanks for listening to AFR. I'm Tim White.
Whoa, no way that just happened.
Yeah, this radio is old, man.
Wait, you have Roku, don't you?
Yeah, but how's that gonna help us?
Dude, AFR's on Roku now.
Oh, seriously?
Yes, where's your remote? All right, here we go.
We're in the same...
You are a genius.
Oh, yeah.
American Family Radio, available on Apple and Android products, Amazon Alexa, and now available on Roku.
God's Word is packed with life-changing wisdom about your finances. And FaithFi is here to help you and many others to be wise stewards of God's resources. As a nonprofit organization, we rely on help from FaithFi patrons, supporters of this mission, to help us continue and expand our outreach. Please consider becoming a monthly FaithFi patron. Visit faithfi.com and click Give on the homepage.
Are you struggling to fit your faith into your practice as a Christian financial advisor? The Certified Kingdom Advisor designation teaches you a step-by-step process to confidently deliver advice that aligns with Christian values. Discover the skills you need to help your clients make a kingdom impact. Get started today by enrolling in the CKA educational program at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified. That's kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
It's great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance. You know, earlier in the program, I was talking about the FaithFi app. If you'd like greater control over your spending plan, you'd like to use the tried and true envelope system in a modern digital expression, well, the FaithFi app might be just what you're looking for. You can check it out on our website, faithfi.com. That's faithfi.com. Just click app and you can learn more. Before the break, we were talking to Connie. Connie is 79 years old. She's been a widow for 14 months. She cleans homes and has built up quite an emergency fund or a household account of about $33,000. She also is taking her surplus over and above her Social Security survivor's benefits, and through the work that she's doing, dog sitting and cleaning houses, is socking that away and has built up about $140,000 plus some silver and gold. And she's willing to put that to work and just wondering what to do with it. And I think, Connie, depending on how much you want to put at risk, I was saying perhaps a portion of it, at the very least, you put it in Marcus or a CD ladder or both. And that portion where you might want to take a little bit of risk and try to grow it, especially given where the market is now, you know, being down, and the fact that, you know, once the Fed is done raising rates, I think this market is going to move higher for sure. Then, you know, that might be an opportunity to get a portion of this invested, and we could talk about where you'd go to do that. But how does that sound?
Well, that sounds great. And I also noticed that on this paper that my client gave me, that this same Marcus, they say you can get online savings account, has no minimum deposit, no fees, or
that's right.
Choose our no penalty CD.
Yeah.
So, but you have to belong to AARP to get that CD. I don't know anything about AARP members. It's only open to AARP. So should I steer away from that?
I mean, if you could get a better yield, that'd be a very small membership fee every month. But you don't necessarily have to do that. For instance, I know they have a 10-month CD right now at north of 5%. So there are options for you to get better yield right now with no fees and very small minimums, if any. So, you know, there's great opportunity right now. I think the question is just how much of this do you want to keep secure in banking products with FDIC insurance, and how much do you want to maybe take a little bit of risk with and try to grow it? And that's where I'd probably connect with our friends at soundmindinvesting.org or find a certified Kingdom advisor in your area that could take a portion of this, you know, maybe as much as $100,000, and deploy it in a very conservative stock and bond portfolio to try to grow it.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I'll invest that. And I've been blessed to have four wonderful sons who had their father said, take care of your mother. So I'm just thoroughly blessed to have them.
Well, so it is a blessing. But let me tell you, Connie, you're doing a phenomenal job on your own. You know, just hearing you describe what you're doing, the fact that you're still working, you've got all this surplus, you're wondering how do you steward it well, you're living modestly. I mean, you're doing a great job, so you have nothing to apologize for whatsoever. So I would go in that direction. I think the key is to decide how much you're willing to put at risk. If you want to invest it, I'd go to our website, faithfi.com, and click Find a CKA and search for a few certified Kingdom advisors in your area to interview, find the one that's the best fit. But in the meantime, I would absolutely take advantage of getting that money out of the safe deposit box and into Marcus in either savings or CDs. Hey, thanks for calling today. God bless you, Connie. If we can help further, let us know. To Arkansas, Francis, you're next on the program. Go ahead.
Good morning.
Hi.
I have a question for you. I am woefully ignorant of CDs. We have a bank in our area that's offering a 5% interest on a 13-month CD. Explain that to me. How does it go about? Where is it a one-time deal where you can get your interest at the very end, or does it come monthly, or what?
Yes. So answer this for me, though, real quick. You said do you just misunderstand how CDs work, or do you have some concern about banks or CDs? Where does your go ahead.
The bank that has this, I don't know. It's unfamiliar to me.
Yeah.
But mostly, I'm not sure how CDs work.
Yeah, okay, very good. So CDs earn compound interest, meaning that periodically, and it depends on the CD, the interest you earn is added to your principal, and then that new amount earns interest of its own, and so on. And so it pays interest throughout the period of time that you own it. And many of them either compound daily or monthly. The more it compounds, the faster your savings will grow. In terms of the safety, I think the important thing is just the size and strength of the bank. But the most important thing is that it's FDIC insured, which just about, if it's a bank, it's likely going to be. Now, you could use a local bank for their CD. I would probably consider an online bank. And I would head, if you're comfortable using the web, I'd go to bankrate.com, and you can search and sort the banks by the banks that are paying the most attractive rates right now. And it'll even use a 5-star rating system to rate the service and strength of the bank. So you'll find that right now, for instance, one of the ones we were just talking about is through one of the online banks, Marcus, which is the retail side of Goldman Sachs, they're paying over 5% a year for a 10-month CD. Well, that's a great return. You lock in your money up for 10 months. They're going to give you 5% annualized in order to do that. So that's a great option. There's no fees, no minimums. You can do it all electronically. And there's FDIC insurance. So if the bank were to fail, the government would step in and make sure that you get your money back. Is that helpful to you?
Yes, it is. So it's not so much the size or the availability of the bank as it is the fact that it is FDIC.
That's exactly right. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, and thank you very much.
You're very welcome. And I would expand your search beyond just locally. And bankrate.com could do that for you very well. So, Francis, thank you for your call today. We appreciate you being on the program. To Texas, is it Melissa?
Yes.
Great.
Yes,
how can I help?
Thank you.
Sure.
Well, I am a single mother who, you know, grew up in poverty, and I have these two beautiful children that I'm, you know, I'm also, I've balanced out financially, you know, breaking even.
Yes.
And I am trying to steward them, and I follow you, so once I do get that extra money, I'll know what to do with it. But as far as my children are concerned, you know, with the end times and we're studying the book of Revelation, you know, this currency that's changing in our world, you know, how do I keep them grounded in a biblical, you know, basis?
Yes.
And,
well,
you know, do they go to the digital side? You know, do I keep them on the cash? Where are we at?
Yeah, that's really a good question, Melissa, and I'm delighted you're thinking about that. First of all, I know how challenging it can be as a single parent. I've counseled hundreds and hundreds of single moms and dads on their finances, and I know it's difficult. And so kudos to you for living within your means and being intentional to say, how do I raise my kids in a way that is going to allow them to leave home with a biblical worldview, not just financial literacy, see on, you know, the danger of debt and how to use a checking account and, you know, why you compound interest, you know, works for you as you invest and grow your savings, but also understanding that God owns it all and we're stewards of his resources and that money is a tool to accomplish his purposes and that we should hold it loosely and give generously. I mean, all of these things we see in scripture that are on the heart of God are critical, and so many kids are leaving home without that. So you thinking about that's really important. I think the big idea here is, number one, I like the acronym MVP. You know, you want to model responsible biblical stewardship, so they need to see you living it out, hear you talking about the fact that there are limited means and we work hard, but God is our provider and that we live on a plan, and that means we can't just spend freely, and so they need to hear you talking about not just, oh, we can't afford that, honey, but you know what? We've got X dollars in our eating out budget this month, and when it's gone, it's gone. You know, my wife and I turned our eating out budget over to the kids 1 month and said, okay, kids, here's how much is in our eating out budget. You guys figure out the plan for the month. And it was great to watch them at the kitchen table kind of, you know, duking it out. Or, well, let's do this on Sunday. Well, we can't do that if we want to do this over here. And, you know, one of them wanted to get hibachi, and then all of a sudden they realized how expensive that was. And so they took that off the list. And, you know, I mean, these are the kind of ways that we need to model that and allow them to experience it. So that's model is M. V is verbal communication. So you need to be talking about these things with them. You know, they need to understand kind of through just the normal everyday what it looks like to trust God and why we give and just the joy of being able to discuss that. And then P is practical application. Let them kind of get into it, like the example of my kids and the eating out budget. And so they've got to be, you know, invested in that and be able to see that work itself out. In terms of whether to go digital or not, I mean, obviously, increasingly, we're going to a digital age and economy. That doesn't scare me, as long as we, you know, put best practices in place to protect ourselves. You know, it is more removed. So we do recognize whether it's plastic or something else, we're going to spend more by digital means, because there's just something about parting with the actual cash that causes us to spend less. But I think because we live in a digital age, and it's certainly going to be even more so when your kids are adults, they need to understand that and how to use it and how to protect themselves, you know, in the digital economy. And so I would start training on them on that now. Maybe get them into the FaithFi app, the free version, and let them set up their digital envelope system and kind of manage the money that's coming into them. Maybe it's through an allowance and helping them understand give, save, spend. So those are just some ideas. But let me do this. I'd love to send you a gift, Melissa. It's it's called The ABCs of Handling Money God's Way by Howard Dayton. And I think that may be a great tool to help you just kind of think through this and have a strategy for how you can intentionally impart these principles. Again, it's called The ABCs of Handling Money God's Way. And if you stay on the line, Pat will get your information and we'll send it as our gift to you. Hey, God bless you and your kiddos. And thank you for being on the program today. We appreciate it very much. Folks, that's going to do it for us. So thankful for my team today. I couldn't do it without them. Pat Montague, Devin Patrick, and Robert Sutherland. I'm Rob West, and on behalf of our entire team here at FaithFi, I hope you have a great rest of your day, and come back and join us tomorrow. By the way, if you want to check out our website, you can do that at faithfi.com. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.